Yep, you are on 3CR, In Your Face, In Fact, with James. And Jesse Ryan joins us in the studio. You have yet another show.
I do. It feels like it was only yesterday I was in here chatting to you, actually. How you been? Good?
I'm great, yeah. I'm so rapt to see you. And I love the title of your show, All Guts, No Glory.
Yeah, straight down the line, right? Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's my second ever comedy show. I did in 2024 Functional Bottom, which went pretty well. So back on the comedy show circuit doing this show, and I guess there's no punches in this show. It's just straight down the line. That's basically it. I get to say a lot of the things I can't say as a journalist. That's all I'm going to... Yeah, that's basically it. It's great.
Come on, give us some tidbits.
Oh, as example, Colin Brooks, our current creative minister who has got no connection to the arts, and how he's defunded 13, 14, 15 organizations, people like Gina Reinhart and Hancock Prospecting, Zionist, you name it. They're all there, and they all get a serve.
Wow, how cathartic for you.
Yeah, it's really great. It's really lovely. It's just nice to be back in comedy, and not that I don't enjoy what I do, otherwise, but this is very much enjoyable.
And comedy is such a vessel because you can be satirical, you can say stuff, but it's satire, so no one takes it seriously, but it's got a punch.
Yeah, it does. And we are definitely towing a very, very fine line in this show. So, let's see how this one goes, shall we?
Well, it's at Club Voltaire. They love you.
Yeah, they do. I had a really great time doing Functional Bottom there, the last comedy festival that I was in. I really love them. And I think, in the absence of Butterfly Club, we've only got a few of these kind of venues left. Motley Bauhaus is another one. So, yeah, keeping it in that kind of old school cabaret Melbourne vibe that we used to have a lot more of, that it's disappearing, as you know.
You've segued into being a performer. You were, a journalist. You still are. Do you miss it?
Yeah, I mean, last article I wrote was only in November for The Age, so it wasn't that long ago. But, the problem is, it's just, the media landscape in this country is so cooked at the moment. It's just, it's hard to get anything out there.
So what's going on there?
There's a lot of things, a lot of censorship is happening, a lot of infighting, work has to be done by the unions still to get a fair wage for a lot of us. MEAA do a lot of great work around there. But also just it's this climate of fear that we have at the moment that I feel is really getting in the way of things. But then also AI, advertising budgets are down, so commissioning budgets are down across. It's a whole big, and I'm not going to say it's not entirely... manufactured by those in power, because we dumb down our media, we dumb down our education and our education funding, and then it just becomes, we become as a population a lot more easier to control.
Do people try and censor you? Because you did reviews, and I imagine that they were pretty biting sometimes, and people did.
Yeah, not since the first season of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under, but that's another story. But yeah, no, I mean, obviously people do try and censor me all the time. I've written some pieces for Crikey, and we've had certain funding organisations to certain parts of the world, come after us, and we've basically just printed the truth. But because they've got the power, they've got the legals, they've got all that kind of stuff, we have to print redactions and apologies, and that's happened a few times. So
without getting into trouble, what happened with RuPaul's Drag Race?
Not much. I just think the editors that I was working for at that publication really beefed up an article before I got to say what it actually said. But also all I was doing was calling out a lot of the problems in that first season. So, casting, multiculturalism, all those things that were in there. And it was pretty rough what they did to JoJo Zoho and the rest of it. But that's 4 or 5 years ago now. They have done good work in the franchise to get better.
So this has kind of given you material for your show, All Guts, No Glory, because you don't hold back. And it sounds like it's an expression of an accumulation of stuff that you've been through and you've seen. And it's basically, Jesse Ryan in the here and now, but kind of with a kind of historic oomph behind it.
And even less of a filter than I usually have. So I don't know how that one's going to go. But yeah, I think... it's not just, I'm not even, not the only one feeling these like frustrations in the world, right? And like, I started writing the show thing and it was all about me returning back to hospitality, which, blech. But it turned into something completely different.
Was there a consideration? Did you feel like you were going to have to do that?
Oh, I am. I am in hospitality. Like, I still do hospitality shifts here and there. So we have to do what we have to do to get by. The arts, you know, is funded by hospitality jobs, let's be honest. So, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Who is producing All Guts No Glory? Do you have a producer?
No,
is it you?
It's just me. I mean, no, it's the same as all my Midsummer projects. Like, I produce and everything like that. I'm working with the amazing, amazing Fiona Scott Norman as my director on this project. But this is also like the first project where I haven't had any kind of funding behind it. So it's kind of been like, we're just pulling it together from everywhere we can at the moment. So, yeah.
What's it like for Fiona trying to, I'm not going to say...
wrangle me?
choreograph you? I don't know. What is the word?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Fiona's a really lovely human and very, very... interesting person to work with. So I feel it's like we're both trying to have to control ourselves at the same time. But yeah, I'm taking boxing classes for this because it is set in the boxing ring. And for me, who's like a total empath and is like the least violent person you could imagine, like even getting into my comfort zone of like having to be like aggressive in that kind of sense. And then there's this whole other thing to unpack around like masculine and non-masculine identities around, you know, all those kind of presumptions that we have, I guess.
And there's a trans person dealing with all of that as well is fascinating.
Oh, it's rough. It's terrible, you know, like, but it makes for good comedy. It's just like, you know, yeah, like I end up in situations where I hook up and if I wasn't male presenting, I'd probably end in my murder. You know what I mean? And that's, it's shouldn't it be humorous and probably isn't, but in the context of things, it's a real thing, right? And when we're coming up against so much more like crap, I think comedy is one of those kind of ways where we can punch it out and we can, you know, embrace this kind of thing and work through it, you know?
You know, I was going to ask you, well, you know, where did the boxing kind of stuff come from? But after you said that, it's perfectly obvious where it's come from. It's about having to, you know, survive.
Yeah, and it's also really quite interesting because we had to work backwards from like the promotional images. So I think we worked from the image backwards in the show. So it's kind of come full circle, you know.
Wow. Okay. So how did you land on boxing if that wasn't going to be the narrative of the show?
I don't know. Ask Fiona. I'm not quite sure how that decision got made, but it did, and here we are now. So
wow.
And that's what I kind of love as well. Like I work with a lot of directors, like. I think Fiona's my fourth or fifth director in like 18 months. And what I really love about working with different directors is they really push you into different areas which aren't your comfort zone. You know, so I might have had a particularly big night and an opening, and then the next morning Fiona had bought me a pair of boxing gloves, and then she held up a cushion in front of her face and she's like, I want you to punch me like 9 a.m. in the morning, and I'm like, this is not me. But yeah, that's how we're doing it.
Wow. So that must have been really confronting.
Yeah, it was really confronting.
And shocking.
And shocking. And exactly what I need, like, from a director. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to work with all this crazy, you've got to be at a certain level yourself. So huge props to Fiona.
You must feel like Fiona gets you.
I feel like Fiona gets me. Fiona and I have known each other for, a good 20 years now or so, going on 20 years. So it's been a long time coming, this kind of project together. But yeah, she's seen me since I was a young little scallywag. I'm still young and a scallywag. But yeah, you know, it's good.
So you mentioned like, you know, four or five directors that you've worked with. What do they say about you?
Oh, Jesus, that's putting me on the spot. That I'm very, very fixated on time and efficiency. But, you know, I am half German, so that comes with the territory. And yeah, I get very self-conscious in the rehearsal room, but then you put me on a stage and all that kind of stuff just goes away. So some people do get frustrated that I don't rehearse enough, but I'm like, no, I'm rehearsing in my mind and just trust me.
Yeah, I imagine the rehearsals would be a double-edged sword for you because you like that structure, but you need that spontaneity and to ride the energy, and it doesn't necessarily translate with what's happening on rehearsal day.
Yeah, no, it absolutely doesn't. I mean, I think I'm kind of fortunate in regards to this show where it was like we bumped out of Midsummer on the Tuesday and then on the Thursday I was in rehearsals, so I haven't really had a chance to kind of stop, and I'm still riding on the wave of Midsummer. So
your show was amazing that was happening here at 14 in Collingwood, 14 Langridge.
Yeah.
Wow, you've just segued from one to the next. Yeah. Did you need a break or no? No, this actual wave that you're riding is what you need.
I mean, as most performers can testify, like we get really bad come downs from like festivals or big performance seasons. So in a way it was really great that I didn't have that after this Midsummer Festival. But in the other sense as well, it's going to be doubly as hard to, you know, winding up in 3 weeks when all this is over. I'll be like, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? No, that's just a general thing for artists every day, I think, you know. So yeah, that's where we're at.
What are you going to do next?
I'm not sure. I'm going to be over in Indonesia touring in July, all things going well, but we've got a couple of more sissy parties lined up at Section 8. I'll be DJing with a few other people in late April, and then I think we're doing the winter solstice party there as well, I think the next month, whenever that is. So yeah, DJing and then going back to some international work, I guess, is what I'm up to next after this.
What are you doing in Indonesia?
Dance work. So there's a festival in Yogyakarta, which is really awesome. So we're going to be doing that for 3 or 4 days and then going up to Bandung, which is just outside of Jakarta and West Java. And it's another dance festival. So a lot of kind of site specific. I got told I can work with fire, which is something I can't do in Australia, thanks to OH&S laws. I can see her eyes across from here, James, and it's a great look. Yeah, I do a lot of firework in Indonesia. So, like, yeah, using gasoline and things that we really shouldn't use to do stuff.
Oh, my
so,
God. Is that a good idea, Jesse?
Yeah, it's great. It's fun. Yeah, so it's something that I learned in India maybe 10 years ago on tour. So, yeah, it's going to be really great to reconnect with Indonesia and the culture over there and do some crazy outdoor dance stuff.
You toured in India 10 years ago. What did you do?
I did firework, fire performance. So we had a residency just outside of Delhi and in the slums of Delhi as well. So we were over there for about 3 weeks doing community and kind of community festival work, I guess you'd say. And then we went back to Malaysia, and I think it was also Indonesia that time, but I can't remember. It was a long time ago.
Well, All Guts, No Glory is happening at Club Voltaire, 14 Raglan Street, North Melbourne. Jesse Ryan, great to see you at 3CR.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks, James.
3CR. In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.